Perek Tes, Mishnah Zayin, here we come. So we continue in Ohalot, and remember that what we've been doing is a beautifully organized presentation in which every Mishnah introduces a variation on a theme, all of which have to do with this Kaveret. And we've been talking about first where the Kaveret was facing outwards, and at the beginning, it's lying directly on the ground, and then it proceeds into where it's a tefach off of the ground, and then it proceeds into where it's broken and it's pakuk. And then we moved in the next Mishnah to flipping it in the other direction, in which the mouth is now facing into the house, and first it's on the ground, and then the next case is where it's off the ground, and then the next case is where it's broken. And basically, we're up to now in Mishnah Zayin, in the case, which is now the equivalent of the parallel to the Mishnah Gimel that we said before about the broken one. So here now in Mishnah Zayin, we're up to the second incident of a broken one. And we say like this, Bame devarim amurim. So where do we say what we just said in the past two Mishnayos? That's talking about where bizman shehi kli mechuchelet. So this is, we're only saying this really because it's the same Lashon as that Mishnah. We don't really need those little windows in this case. Because in this case, we're talking about where we've got the opening into the house. So there's no point in the little windows because the little windows were needed before to allow the Tumah to actually get into the house. Over here, we have the actual opening in the house. But we say it anyway because we're taking Mishnah Gimel and we're flipping it into this case. So, Haita Pechuta, Upkuka Bekash, but the same lashon we had before. Now it's broken and we plugged up the break with some straw. Or for that matter, even if there had been windows, but they were blocked, which means that they weren't a tefach, again, all of this is really unnecessary. So then, in that case, if it's broken, now things are different. So now we're going to take the same cases that we had before, but we're going to be talking about where the mouth of the broken kaveret is facing inside. And the first case is always where it's lying on the ground, and the next case is always where it's a tefach above the ground. So let's take a look. If we have a kezayit min hamet that is underneath the kaveret, and of course the kaveret in this case is broken, so then, kinegdo ad hatahom tame. It is now considered to be tame because it's basically radiating directly downwards, and that's the halacha. It's ad hatahom. If you put it on top, and it's basically on the part that's outside of the house, then there's nothing to stop it from radiating all the way to the moon. So then it would be al gaba kinegdo ad harekia tame. Bitocha obabayit. Then tochava by tameim. Since in this case it's open into the house, if we have the kezayit min hamet inside, so then the tumah gets into the house, and vice versa. If the tumah is in the house, then it's going to get directly into the inside of our kaveret. How about the equivalent of Mishnah Dalet? The equivalent of Mishnah Dalet is that it would be lifted a tefach off of the ground. And the difference would be that in this case, it's lifted off the ground, but it's facing, the opening of it is facing in, not facing out. That's the only difference. Otherwise, it's the same case. So, hayta gvoha min haaretz tefach. So what would be if it was off the ground by a tefach? What would be the din there? So, tum'a tachteha, if we have a kezayis of tuma and the part that's outside the house, or for that matter, if the tuma is anywhere inside the house, or if the tuma is inside of the kaveret itself, everything is tamei except what's on top, outside of the house, of it. That is the only thing, because look, if you consider the interrelationship of the house, the inside of the kaveret, which is open to the house, and the under part, which is up above the ground by a tefach and is sticking into the house. Basically, all of these are one gigantic ohel. They're completely open into each other. And therefore, wherever you have something that is tummy in any of these areas, it's going to penetrate all of the areas, right? So because of that, hakol tummy, everything would be tummy except what's on top. Because what's on top, remember, since it's broken, so therefore it's considered to be just like a broken piece of board, which is a proper oil, even not just to be maybe a satuma, but to be chotzeitz in a tumah. So therefore, anything on top of it is actually not going to be tummy. How about if you put the kizayis min hames outside of the house on top of the kaveret? So then anything which is all the way up to the moon will be tummy, but everything else is tahar. Again, why? Simply because it's a broken kaveret, and as a broken kaveret, it is able to be a proper oyel to prevent things from going down. But going up, there's nothing at all that's on top of it. So that's beautiful. Okay, now that basically handles all of the inside. In other words, it's in the doorway. It's either open to the inside, it's open to the outside. What about if it's actually not lying on its side necessarily? It is filling up the space where it reaches. So let's say it's standing up straight. If it's standing up straight, then its opening is all the way up to the ceiling. If we're talking about that it's on its side, then its opening is all the way up to the wall. And there's no distance of a boteach tefach to allow tuma out of it between the top of it and the roof, or between the top of it if it's on the side and the wall. And then, remember, we start with a new problem. The new problem is that in the event that you have a kli, which is within a tefach of a binyan, it becomes an extension of the binyan. And then even if it's a kli, as long as it's big enough that it's not shaykh to kapalas tuma, which we said is more than the satayim, so then it's itself considered to be an ohel. So in that case, what we have is a real ohel inside of another ohel, right? Because we've turned this kaveret into a full ohel, even if it's a kli. So then if there's tuma inside of the kaveret, since there's not an opening of a tefach between the top of the kaveret and any area of the house airway, airspace, how's the tuma going to get into the house? And because of that, if there's tuma in it, so in the case where it's an ohel, it's going to go to the inside ohel and will still be mitame in the house. How? Aha, because we forgot another din. Not only did we forget for a moment the din of within a tefach becoming part of the house, but we forgot the big problem of sof tuma latzeit. And since ultimately you're going to have to take out this kizayit min amet and bring it to a burial, you're going to be removing it from that kaveret. And the only way to remove it from the kaveret is to get it out through the house that the kaveret is open to. Because of that, even though it doesn't have a paseach tefach, the bayit will be tameh. But on the other hand, if the tuma is in the house, it is not the derech, of course, to bring the kezayit min amet from the house into the kaveret, and therefore, since there's not an opening of a tefach, mashe betoch hatahor. In that case, the house is tameh, but the inside of the kaveret remains tahor, and it will protect anything that's inside of it. Why? Shederech tuma latzeit, ve'ein derech tuma lahikanes. This is true, by the way, everything that we just said, which of course is the way we presented it, whether we're talking about the kaveret standing straight up and down and the top of the kaveret being next to the ceiling, or whether it is on its side and the top of the kaveret being actually up against the wall, less than a tefach up against the wall. And this is true even if you've stacked them, ben achat, ben shtayim, and the top mouth is within the tefach of the ceiling. It's the same thing, because basically it's going to still have no way to escape except through sof tuma latzeit. Now let's take an additional case. How about if the kaveret is not in the house, but it's actually in the door itself? Not only that, it's blocking it. a curious relationship to the Mishnah we had today in Erevin. So you basically put this piece of kaveret and you used it to block the entire door. And Aita omedet betoch hapetach, ve'ein beina levena mashkov poteach tafach. So you don't have space between the mashkov, the lintel on top of the door. You don't have a poteach tafach. The area of the door itself is the same, at least the same depth as the opening of the kaveret, which means that the area above the door, the mashkov, covers the entire top of the kaveret. And since it's within a tefach, the kaveret now has a din of a binyan, and therefore it's as if it was built there, and it's an ohel, even if it's technically a kli. It's that a type of kli that's not makabel tume. Either it's too big, or it's made out of a material like avanim, and so on, that is not makabel tume. So because of that, the din is like this. If the tumah is inside the kaveret, then it's in a separate ohel. And there's no way for the tumah inside of it to get into the house, because even in terms of sof tumah latzeit, why would I bring the tumah into the house? I would take the tumah and take it out the other side, which is on the other side of the door, in order to remove it from the house. And therefore, there'd be no issue of bringing tumah in any way into the house. We don't have a poteach tefach anywhere. We don't have a window that allows a poteach tefach. And we do not have a sof tumah latzeit issue. So that's for sure. But how about if, interestingly enough, you have tumah in the house? Then what? Aha. So if you have tumah in the house, the tumah has to be removed from the house, right? Now you could say, okay, fine. If the tumah is removed from the house, we could always move the kaveret out of the way, couldn't we? Well, yes, theoretically. But right now, you've got an entirely closed binyan. And remember, the halacha is that in that case, we would say sof tumah latzeit from the most likely place where it's going to go. And that means we look at it as going through the front door and going straight through the kaveret. And therefore, anything inside the kaveret is tame. Now, this is a brand new idea, and it's not so pashut that we say that tumah will penetrate something that is not penetratable with the idea of sof tumah latzeit. And because of this, there are, in fact, others who have the girsa that mashi betocha tahor, because, I mean, why would I view it as going through the kaveret? Okay, so you can see that there's a ground for both of these. Has Gavi come to a dead stop in the midst of this beautiful tiyul? I hope not. Ah. Okay. This is wonderful. Just wonderful. Can't thank you enough. Okay, what an amazing opportunity while we're learning to be standing up there in the Galil and then going towards Amuka and the most amazing places. And unbelievable. Okay, so now we're going to again continue the same cases that we had. We went through the stages of Mishnah's Aleph through Dalet. Then we went through the same stages in parallel with a slight reversal from Hey to Chet. And for the first time, we're getting to a change that we never talked about before. And that is that the kaveret is not inside, not in a doorway, not between. It's entirely outside. So now we're moving on to what happens to a kaveret, which is in the avir, it's in the open air. So aita muta al tzida ba'avir. Suppose it is on its side, it is in the open air in the outside, not in a house, not in a doorway, and there's a kizayit min hamet that is natun tachteha, and it's got either the kizayis underneath or on top. So then we just get our tunneling issue, because the radiation will go through anything that's exactly against the area where the kezayit is, whether it's underneath to the top, it will tunnel right through it and be metame. And the same thing is anything that is underneath, under the ground, and so on. It's all going to be tame. There's no ohel. But anything that's not literally in the direct line of radiation, it's going to be completely okay. The same thing is true is Tocha is also tahor, as we've seen, because the actual kaveret cannot become tame, because it's not shayach to kabbalas tuma. Because of that, it doesn't allow tuma in, not because it's an ohel, it doesn't allow tuma in because it doesn't have a surface that is sensitive to tuma. Now, on the other hand, if the tuma is inside of it, then everything is tame, because remember, the idea of mukaf tzamid pasil, and any time that a kli shields something, it only prevents tuma from getting into it, doesn't prevent tuma from getting out of it, and therefore, since it's a kli over here, it also acts as an ohel in one way only. That is, that even though it doesn't stop the penetration, it spreads the tuma. So therefore, if the tuma is inside of the kaveret, now you no longer need to be under the direct line of radiation up or down, because the entire inside of the kaveret has spread the tuma, and therefore every place where you would be, and whether it's inside or whether it's above it, anywhere above it, not directly connected to the kizayit, and anything beneath it, not directly connected to kizayit, all of it is considered to be tame, which clarifies so beautifully the various halachas. One additional case, and that is, take the same thing and make it a tefach off of the ground. Now, this is what we basically have been doing all the time. So whenever we changed one thing, we went back and we looked, what's the halacha if it's lying flat on the ground, and what's the halacha if it's a tefach off of the ground. So let's take a look at this case where it's outside and we're talking about the tefach off of the ground. So hayta gavoa min ha'aretz tefach. If it was raised off of the ground, so now you've got an ohel underneath it, not for chaytzeitz, but we have an ohel underneath it for one issue only, and that is for mevias atumah, because it can't be chaytzeitz b'fnei atumah. So then the halacha is that tuma takteha o algaba hakol tame elatocha. So in that case, everything will become tame. Why? Because since the tuma will get down to under it, and under it there's a tefach, it now will spread all along the area of the kaveret. And once it spreads, it will now radiate up and down from the entire spread, not only from the direct area. And therefore, everything will be tame, but the inside won't be tame for exactly the same reason. It has no way of penetrating because, since it's not shayach to kabbalas tuma, it's a kaveret that is either made out of a material which isn't mekabel tuma, or it's too big to be mekabel tuma. So therefore, inside it, it's not going to be tame. If the tuma, the kezias, is actually inside, if it's bitocha, so then everything becomes tame. Inside, outside, under, it's all tame. Because again, once it's inside, the tuma spreads inside. And since we're talking about a kli, we can't prevent the tuma from getting out. There's no ohel. So neither up or down is going to be of any help for us. And everything, therefore, is going to become tame. Now, when is this true? And now we're going back to the equivalent to the Mishnah Gimel again. In the case where it was an actual kli. Now we have to do the other variation. The other variation is, okay, what happens when it's not a kli? So, b'meh devarim amurim, when do we say all of the above? Dafka, when the kaveret is a real kli and it's not broken. But suppose it was pechuto, pekuko, pekash. Or, now here is a really strange new thing that we never spoke about before, and the Mefarshim are very concerned about the fact that it was not introduced before. And that is that we throw in the words, O machzeket arba'im sa'ak divrei chachamim. Now this is claiming that once a kli is machzeket arba'im sa'ak, not only does it have the din of klei avonim or klei gelolim, which is not mekabel tuma, it doesn't have the shame of a kli, which of course until now we've been making the assumption that the exact opposite is true, and that its only difference of its size is that it prevents the tuma from penetrating it because it has a shear that doesn't allow the penetration of tuma. But all the other dinim of kelim it has. Now we're all of a sudden introducing a shita of a chachomim that we didn't know before, which according to which is the same exact din of pechuta, meaning broken, is also in a case where it's more than arboim sa. There's all kinds of questions about whether this applies in all cases, or is there something unique about the case over here of the kaveret that's underneath the open sky. We'll assume right now that it's the same and that there is such a shita. But in any event, if it doesn't have a din of a kli, so then if you've got the kezayit min ha-meis under it, then everything under it is tame, but everything else is tar, because since it's not considered to be a kli, so now it becomes an ohel, and it can actually be chotzeitz bifnei ha-tuma. If the tuma is al-gaba, so then kenegdo al-ha-reki ha-tame, only things that are directly connected to radiation is tame, because it's going to shield things underneath it from tuma. If things are inside of it, it's going to shield all directions, and only the inside of it is going to be tameh.